One, two.
Well, what is your full name?
Okay, I'll spell it for you because you wouldn't get it otherwise.
Okay.
It's John.
Mm-hmm.
And the last name is capital V as in Victor,
mm-hmm.
A-N,
mm-hmm.
capital S as in Sam, C-H-O-O-N-H-O-V-E-N.
All right. Now, where were you born?
I was born on Lancer, Maine.
You were?
Yes. Actually, where the Cheeseleys live.
Okay.
Just, you know, the two houses down
the corner.
On the north side.
Okay, wow. And when were you born?
December 10th, 1928.
And were you born on your family's farm, or was
yes,
there a doctor there?
Yeah, okay. We had a smaller pajet, 28 acres.
And did your mother have all of her children there at home?
I was the only child.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Was there a doctor that came out to help?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. A local doctor. Uh-huh. Dr. Wonderlake. That was about it.
Is there anything else that your parents told you about your birth? I mean, any interesting incidents or anything like that?
No, not really. Uh-uh. I can't. As near as I know, there was nothing that they ever told me anyway. I'm assuming it was just nothing out of the ordinary.
Good, good. Now, was it typical in that time for people to be born at home?
I would say most. You know, of course, people who. Some people went to to the Grand Hospital, or to Hot Lake
mm-hmm.
Hospital, which was a hospital too. But I would say the most people were probably born in their home.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to school? Did you go to school here in Cove?
Yes, I went to Shanghai School. Do you know where Shanghai School
is? I saw the building, yes.
Yeah. I went there for the first 5 years until it closed. And then in the Cove School, where you know the present old brick building.
Do you have any good memories or bad memories of school at that young age?
I think all good. You know, I enjoyed going to Shanghai. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. Anywhere from 10 to a dozen students, one teacher, grades 1 through 8. And, of course, that was all I knew, when they closed it, I thought the world had come to an end. I had to go to some other school that wasn't half as good as I. So, anyway, yeah, it was a good experience.
Was the new school bigger? Were there a lot more students there?
Well, of course, the Cove School had two grades for each teacher. First and second were together, third and fourth, fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth. And of course, here at Shanghai, one teacher for all the kids. So yeah, it was considerably bigger.
And more divided.
Oh yes, and very, initially I of course frightened at the thought of going, not so much going, but the thought of having to go to a big school. I thought, how's it going to be? You know, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing much happened. It's about the same as before in the minutes. But yeah, it was quite a transition in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
From a one-room country school to a big school like Cove.
Yeah. Now you said your family had about 20 acres there,
yeah, roughly? Yeah, 20 acres.
And what did they do with those 20 acres? Did they farm?
About two-thirds of it was in cherry orchard. And then we've had additional property, the property I'm on, and some other property that where we raised milk cows, had cattle and pigs, and you know, the traditional farm, small farm kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But cherries was probably the main crop. It's just that you couldn't depend on it for an income, because from year to year you might have a good crop or you might not.
Mm-hmm.
So milk cows, having a small herd of milk cows, separating the milk into cream, selling the cream to the to the Union County Co-op, which was a dairy in Union.
Mm-hmm.
That gave you a paycheck of some sort every 2 weeks. So that's what was the stabilizing in your life. And of course, there was a driver came by every week and picked up the grain. You kept it in large 10-gallon cans in a cooler, so you kept the cooler and you put it out. And he'd come by and pick it up. And of course, and then every 2 weeks he would do a check for the whatever cream had they picked up for those 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. What, did you help out with that as you were growing up?
Oh yeah, of course, that was part of the whole process of milking and doing whatever else needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. You said that you enjoyed going to school. Was it because it was a break from chores, or was it just
like being with other kids?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a fun experience. I guess that, that was basically it.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your father run the whole thing
yes,
himself?
Yes, occasionally he'd hire someone to help, but most of the time he ran it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your chores increase as you grew older and what you were able to help with?
Oh yes, I mean, it was all commensurate with your age, but it varied. From, I don't recall early chores as much, but even helping and milking, because we milked by hand for the first several years, until I was 15 or 14 or whatever. So milking was the cows was one thing. You had to feed the livestock, get hay in and in, you know, clean out the barn, feed the pigs, all the other kind of stuff you had to do. So, they're just traditional small town farm chores, but my dad would sort of allocate them out, I think, as proportion to my age and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I kept busy.
Yeah. Good. What was your favorite subject in school? Did you have one?
Oh, primarily English, literature, particularly English, history, probably the two main ones.
And what was your parents' involvement in your education? Did they help you with your homework, or were they able to go to school?
Well, to some extent, I suppose so. I don't recall, but my mother was very much involved in school and helped with various things. She was the clerk for the Shanghai School District, so she kept all the records. Same the clerk being about the same as secretary, treasurer, is his responsibility of taking care of minutes and the financial accounts and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
She was involved, and of course, we were always involved in the activities, so they were involved in all the activities that went around the school, because of the Christmas programs and all the other things that the school provided, And parents were a big part of that, and those kind of celebrations kind of things. So, they were both involved. So it's, and that was true of most parents. Not all, but most, one way or another, they participated. Not in direct instruction, but in the other activities. It was the one-room school has a lot to be said for it. There's a lot of disadvantages, of course, but teachers would assign some older students to work with younger students, and so there was a lot of teaching going on, student to student. That was, I think, very good, because I think both the student teaching and the student learning were both gained from that process. It was an interesting dynamic of a one-room school. It's still, the building's still there, even the chalkboards and much of the things are still intact inside that old building. Yeah.
Oh, neat. I just seen the sign that says that was okay.
Anyway, it was a good start in education.
Good. Now, were your parents from here?
Yes. Actually, my mother's parents had both come to Cove, but my grandfather had homesteaded up High Valley, my mother's father, and my father's had come here when he was just a young boy, somewhere in the mid-1890s, and my mother's folks had come over there about 1880-something.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd move it to Cove, one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they meet here in Cove?
I'm sorry?
Do you know if they met here in Cove?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And this, I think, the house was probably the first place that they lived. That's when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
They had. That was the first place.
Did your father build it, or was
no?
Able to
actually,
buy it?
It had been built before. It was almost new. One family had lived in it before, but it was nearly anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he didn't build it. So.
Now, you said that English was your favorite subject in school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a lot of reading before you entered school, or was that a completely new and exciting subject?
Well, I had, my mother had helped me do a lot of memorizing of poetry and that kind of stuff before
mm-hmm.
I went to school. So I was sort of into the concept of literature and that kind of stuff before. So, and I'm not even sure, but I think I had to do some basic reading before I started, but I'm not sure how much. I just don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, you know, it came fairly easily, and it was. Right at the corner where Love Road and Lawrence Lane joined, there's a house just across the road there where Redmond is now. But the family that lived there was named was Barker, and their daughter, Dorothy, was my first teacher, first grade teacher.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I remember stopping on the very first day of school, and her father's on Montalais, and my mother and I meeting her out in front of the place where we lived, and she took me to school, and sort of explained things to me on the way. And that's the last time I remember ever getting a ride to school.
Just on the first day?
First day of the first year.
So did you walk yourself to school?
Oh, yeah. Usually I rode my horse sometimes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All by yourself?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Speaking out in the area of the playground. But, you know, I usually walk.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you started school?
Five.
Wow. Now, when you started at the Cove School, what grade were you in?
I was in sixth. I spent the first grade at Shanghai.
And how many grades did Cove School go through?
Well, it went through high school. It was first through eighth grade would be as elementary. And there wasn't anything like junior high.
Right.
It was just a straight seventh and eighth combination grade. And then from there you went freshman, 3 years of high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was just pretty much the format now, although I think, I'm not sure whether Cove School now actually talks about junior high or not, but it does have seventh and eighth grades, you know, so the format was pretty traditional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Junior highs, middle school weren't that common. Yeah.
And did they have any sports that you were involved in?
Oh, I was involved in every sport I could manage to get involved in. Yeah, we had, of course, football, basketball, and baseball,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of track, but not very much. But those were the main sports, the three. And, oh, yeah, that was a very good, important thing. And so I was involved in all of that.
Yeah. What grade did they start having teams that you could be involved in?
As a freshman.
As a freshman. So before then it was mostly recess games?
Oh, other than that, yes. Yeah. I guess when we were in seventh grade, we did have a football team that played a few other seventh and eighth grades around,
mm-hmm.
but that wasn't the only few games, too much.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a favorite sport?
Football.
Football?
Because in Cove now they play 8-man football, but at that time they was even smaller. They played 6-man football.
Oh,
that
wow.
That was the format. And and of course, most of the small towns did. Elgin, Ember, Union, Cove, North County, and Willow. Just those were the teams we usually played, and they all played 6-man. So Enterprise, I don't think they had any. Of course, they ran that. Most of the small schools around were 6-man football.
Was that because of the number of participants?
Right, not enough students and expense too of uniforms
right.
And all that. But basically, the difference was 11 students to have an 11 team.
I see.
11 people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that was a very, very important thing. You know, to do and for a while.
Well then. When you were a senior in high school, were you looking to attend college or work with your father?
Oh, no. From the time that I can remember, I was sort of programmed to go to college by my parents. It was whenever I could, whenever I sold some calf or something that my parents had given me, you know, and I raised, that money went in the bank to go to college. So it was there was never a question, there was no decision making whether I was to go to college or not.
Mm-hmm.
I just automatically went to college.
Wow.
But a lot of students, you know, I was saying, well, do I do that or do I get a job? But I never even thought about anything else. I just kind of did it because that's what they had
expected,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just the way it happened.
Now, you said that some students, it was, you know, do they go to college, do they not? Was that because their parents needed their help, or was it just because it was a financial decision, you know?
It probably a combination. Some parents really didn't feel the importance of college for
mm-hmm.
their children. Some of them felt they couldn't afford it. And some students just didn't see that as being of any advantage to them. It was more important for them to go out and work. Or in some instances, get married,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there are different reasons why people didn't go, but it's probably a combination of all of those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a fair number of students, you know, married right out of high school. And not a lot, but quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of reasons why people didn't go, but it really boiled down in most cases to them not seeing college as being a benefit to them. They didn't see that as important as getting married or getting a job where you could bring in money and buy yourself a car and do all the other kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And work in the mill or something like that. You know? And they didn't in my graduating class 3, 4 well my large graduating class 8 students.
Oh wow.
5 of us went to college. 1, 2, 3 of us got one or more degrees, and two others went for a while, but didn't necessarily get a degree.
They didn't complete
the program. Pardon?
They didn't complete the program.
Yeah, for various reasons. You know,
right.
But. What is it? 37.5% of us went ahead, you know. And it wasn't too bad then, because first it was also a sort of a selective thing. Because when I was in eighth grade, instead of 8 students in our class, there must have been 15.
Oh, wow.
And by the time you got to graduation, various students had dropped out. Dropping out was a very common thing for students to do for various reasons. Sort of the same rationale why many didn't go to college. Either they were finding school difficult or their parents wanted them to be working for them or they wanted to make money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But dropping out was fairly common.
Was it more accepted than it is now?
Yeah, I think it was. Sort of it's even expected, I think.
Yeah.
It's what gets over there. Sad thing, but that's just what some people just would not. They just assumed that they would go for a while and that was it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was, other than going back to the lack of the perception of college as being something that they either couldn't do or didn't want to do or didn't see the value of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And probably they also didn't feel they were probably too welcome. Most kids who drop out don't feel very happy there, or they wouldn't drop out. You know, so. But there was quite an attrition from 8th grade to 12th grade.
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact numbers, but that's what it was. But,
mm-hmm.
Close to 15 or so in 8th grade, they don't need.
Yeah.
So, and yet there were a lot of people many years earlier in Poe, going back many years, who went ahead to college. Long before I went to graduate from high school, there were a lot of students in Poe who went on to college in various places. When you look back at the records, the history records of classes and
mm-hmm.
so forth. So a lot of data, even years and years ago, the percentage was always low.
What year did you graduate?
tried to think of it the other day and I couldn't remember. 46.
Okay. Now, were some of your classmates, you said, you know, different reasons. Were some of them drafted?
Arrested?
Drafted.
Drafted.
Or did they go join?
Some joined, you know. Four of us eventually ended up in the service. Four of the boys who graduated did. None stayed in for more than 3 or 4 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most. And I don't think any were drafted. I think they were, enlisted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I think the draft was not that, probably was in effect, but it wasn't that demanding.
Mm-hmm. What about, do you know about the student boys who dropped out in 8th grade? Did they also serve? Do you know about any chance?
At least some. I'm trying to think. One student who was in 8th grade but dropped out of high school was killed in the Korean War. And I just don't remember the others. But yes, I'm sure some did,
mm-hmm.
and served.
Mm-hmm.
You see, 46 was after World War II had finished,
mm-hmm.
so there was the need for people in the military had declined quite a lot. It was a different time. A few years earlier, there were people dropping out of high school to join the service all
That's
the time.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
But we were past that era.
Okay.
And it wasn't until the Korean War came along that there was a need again for people doing the service.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to your parents, you said it was expected that you would go to college.
Yeah.
Did they go to college?
My mother went to what was a junior college then, for a couple 2 years, I think, and would have liked to have been a teacher, but never did. Married my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And but my father did not. My father didn't graduate from high school.
Do you know why it was so important to them that you went to college?
I really don't, except again, my mother, had a lot of aspirations, even by helping me early on before I started school again, to do things and we tried to learn the reading and memorize things and so on. But my dad was equally as strong, and I don't know. He had in his mind the importance of an education, and both parents felt very strongly about that. It's just a perception they had that education was a valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know why, but I did.
Mm-hmm. So then you did go to college, and which college did you attend?
I started at Eastern, and actually graduated. I started at Eastern 1 year, went into the service. For a year and a half, and then came back and finished the Eastern.
And what did you study?
Education. I really have been a teacher.
What? How did the year and a half in the service affect your education? Did it enhance it? Did it interrupt it for a short time? What was that like?
Well, it was a good experience because I spent most of that time over a year and about 3 months of it in Salzburg, Austria.
Wow, what did you do there?
I was in the military police, part of the, at that time, you see Austria and Germany both were occupied by what was then the four powers, France, Great Britain, the United States, and Russia. And mm-hmm. each of those countries were divided into zones, and so I was in the, and while they were local government police, there was still the occupation force there, military, American military there. So I was part of that occupation force. And basically served as policeman in the city of Salzburg.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and that was pretty scary. I came back and spent back to school, worked in the mill for four or 6 months, and then started back to school.
Mm-hmm.
See, the sawmill in Cove was right where the high school is now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you work at that mill then, the one in Cove?
Yeah.
Now, working in the sawmill here before you went back to school, was that to save up money? Or just for the experience?
For working in the mill, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, no, it was the, for money to go to school.
Okay, you know? Yeah, that's what it
was. And I worked clear through December because I was away. I'd gone to college enough before. I suppose I could have graduated earlier, but I just decided to work that time, accumulate enough money, and then start back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, so all came out even. I graduated in June instead of January.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed Eastern. It was much, much smaller.
Yeah.
Much less sophisticated. But it was still, I think, a pretty good school.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your other classmates, the other four, did they attend Eastern also, or did they go elsewhere?
They all attended Eastern. Uh-huh.
Did they all study education?
Think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Of those who graduated, three of the four was in education. One was an engineer, and he went on to the state. He started the Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
But most ended up in education. Not probably always by choice, but at that time, about all you could get a degree out of Eastern was education.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went there and got a degree and didn't transfer after a couple of years, then that was about all that you could do. So a lot of people ended up in education because of it was the college was here, so they went ahead and that field kind of thing, maybe transferring somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of an interesting side product of that was because that was true. And because at that time they only graduated elementary teachers at Eastern.
Oh, really?
If you wanted to be a secondary teacher, you had to go to Oregon State or the University of Oregon. And so there was a really, through at least much of Eastern area, quite a high percentage of men teaching elementary. I wouldn't say it was 50%, but it was a substantial number of men who became teachers and principals and so on. And a lot of it was because Eastern, Southern, and Oregon College of Education all could only graduate people in elementary.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of a forced situation, but right. It was a good one because it put more men into elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was an important thing.
Now, what about you? Did you want to do that, or was it because of
who? Oh, I had bounced around with different career ideas, but once I'd made my mind up, I'd have to get there.
Did you become an elementary school teacher?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did you teach?
I taught in Mountain View one day. And was an elementary teacher, then a junior high teacher and vice principal and then a principal over there.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you a teacher?
Has
it been most of your career?
Most of my career has been in education in one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last 2 years I was in Elementary One, I was an elementary principal. And then I left there and attended the University of Oregon. And then I I guess I basically attended the University of Oregon during the summer because I just joined the University of Oregon while I was principal. I got a master's at Eastern during that first 3 or 4 years when I was teaching. And then I, from there I went on to the University of Oregon and took graduate program, graduate courses. And
education.
And then I ended up going to Japan as elementary principal of an international school in Tokyo.
Wow!
Yeah.
What year did you...
Let's see.
Yeah.
They're 50... About 1960-61, I was there.
How did you stumble upon that opportunity?
Well, it just sort of, I was planning to go to the university on an assistantship, but I happened to hear about this job, and the headmaster was in Portland, so I went down and talked with him, and he said, how did you want to do this? So at the very last minute, I got everything together, visa and passport, in the company. Tokyo just about 2 days before school started.
Wow.
So, but it was just from 33 different countries in the school. It was amazing, the variety of students. Many of them from students of various people working in embassies from throughout the world.
Children of different ambassadors?
Ambassadors and other staff and other members of embassy staffs, and a large number of businesses, American businesses, or businesses that were cooperating and working with Japanese companies as a family computer. Their students were involved. There were quite a few missionary families who had children here, but the embassies really provided the majority of the diversity, because we had kids from many embassies, of course, in Tokyo, and most of their kids went to this particular school. Mm-hmm. It was an old school.
What grade level did it teach?
It was kindergarten through high school. Through
Wow. And how long were you in school there?
1 year. I was going to stay longer, but my father's health sort of suggested that he left. Demanded with it back from home. And so I came back to Bo to be with him.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, were you married before this all happened?
No, I wasn't married at least yet. The job at Easton, taught in the laboratory school and taught different math. Methods courses in math and language arts and that kind of stuff, but also in a demonstration school there, and met Louise while I was teaching there.
How did you meet Louise?
She actually had been teaching herself in Labrador and had come home early because she had become ill and was working in the education office in the spring, so I couldn't help but notice it, so
mm-hmm.
one thing that could have been.
So you had to come home early and you were able to meet Louise.
Very opportune, wasn't it?
Yes. Now you're talking about this this laboratory school, a demonstration school. Was that to enhance the program there for educators?
Basically it was for student teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It was a regular school, called Ackerman School, and they provided opportunities. If you were in the lab school, you taught demonstration classes for classes of students to observe, and you had students in the classroom to actually do student teaching there.
Mm-hmm.
Some student teaching was done out in schools in the area, but some was done right there in the laboratory school.
Mm-hmm.
So just teach demonstration lessons with students who were doing their student teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, a combination of both of those.
Was that opportunity provided when you went to school there?
In fact, I went back and taught with some of the people who were actually my teachers.
Oh,
as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah. But I enjoyed also just quite a lot of the graduate courses at the Extension Service, mm-hmm. as and also on campus. Mm-hmm. So it was a combination of teaching academic courses and teaching in the grad school. Board.
Mm-hmm. You met Louise,
mm-hmm.
and when did you get married?
When?
Yeah.
Well, August 22nd.
Okay.
What year, Louise?
39.
Did you get married here in Cove?
In the Grand, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we left immediately, almost immediately, to go to Eugene. Where I had an assistantship in Louise Kaufman Elementary School there. And then, so we were doing.
Mm-hmm. What was it? Was there a lot of difference as far as the community was concerned, going to Eugene and teaching there versus teaching here?
Well, because, see, I didn't teach in Eugene.
Okay.
I was in the graduate program there, but I had an assistantship, so that mattered. I worked for the university, in an administrative center there, working on the Center for Advanced Careers High School Administration, which was a federal program there. But anyway, so Louise taught there in the schools. But for me, it wasn't too much difference, really, in teaching there, than, because I also did some work with student teachers there, some. And then out in the schools, it wasn't too much different. It would have been.
Mm-hmm. What brought you back to Cove?
Back here? Well, this is home.
Yeah.
For home for me, it wasn't for me. We decided just to return here. I mean, when I finished it, it might be here. We thought of going out of crisis, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that this property that you're on right now, was that part of the original farm that you grew up on?
Yeah. We bought this when I was about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And some additional property up on animals that we bought not long after that. So.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the University of Oregon, and then we moved from there to Lake Oswego, and I was worked as director of professional standards for the Oregon Education Association.
Mm-hmm. Was this after Eugene?
Yeah.
Moved up to Portland area.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then after a few years there, went back and worked for the National Education Association, Washington D.C.
Wow. On the East Coast.
Yeah, we spent quite a few years on the East Coast, actually.
Really? How long were you there? Wow.
Started out working for the NEA, and then I went into a public school. The public school is in a district close to in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
that is contiguous with Western, close to Western. And worked there as a principal. And others, capacities were primarily successful.
Mm-hmm. What was that like, the transition? Obviously, it's vastly different than it is here.
Yeah. Actually, in many ways, it was good. We sort of agreed that we weren't going to play one against the other, that we weren't going to say that, well, they don't do things here like they did there, you know,
mm-hmm.
like we used to have. And so when we stopped comparing them, and we didn't compare them, there was a lot of value for living back there. It's wonderful resources, you know, Washington, D.C., Marvelous, Smithsonian, everything you think of. Baltimore, a beautiful city, and we lived halfway between Baltimore and Washington. And it was just a great experience. Quite congested, traffic, you know, lots of people, but good people, you know, really excellent. We worked with some wonderful people.
Mm-hmm. Did your trip to and work in Tokyo prepare you for more of a condensed city life when you moved to Washington?
I suppose it did. I never thought of that, but it did, because, of course, Tokyo can be very congested. It is very congested. Mm-hmm. It can be almost maddening at rush hour anymore. But, and so in some ways, I suppose there was a... Because I liked Tokyo, and we liked Washington. We didn't... We lived outside of Washington, but we still liked the area. So yeah, it was fun. And I think there was a, probably some preparation or readiness or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we liked it a lot.
Good. And so you just decided to go ahead and head home when you retired?
Yeah. We thought about other places, but Louise's parents were living on a place we have up on Hamilton, and they had retired. Yeah, they had retired. So we wanted to be back close to there. So
mm-hmm.
It seemed like a good idea to come back home, so we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were away working, were you still connected somewhat in as far as knowing how the community here was changing?
Oh, yes. Because we'd come back and visit
mm-hmm.
at least once a year. You know, and sometimes, or usually, and so, yeah, you weren't as much aware or involved, of course, as if you lived here, but I kept pretty close touch, you know, see friends while I was here, you know, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we had a sense of what was going on. And, of course, with Felicia's parents here with them, they kept us posted on everything going on in the community. So it wasn't like we were coming back into something that was
different.
Totally different, as if we weren't aware of what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yeah. How have you seen Pope change since you were before?
Well, I've quite a lot of ways, really. One of the interesting things I found when I came back, when we came back, was that there was still an awful lot of people that I had grown up with here, sort of the old-timers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of new people to the community who added a new dimension.
Mm-hmm.
I was a freshness, so to speak. So you had the tradition, but you also had the perspective. You just wasn't someplace and kind of forgot.
Right.
Yeah, there was some of that dynamics up in the old. And I thought that was very good. It's not necessarily that old-timers, newcomers always agreed, but they were there together, and it changed the flavor of the community, made it more alive, more of a dynamic community. And so it was a good return. Really enjoyed the coming back. And the way it's changed for me, I think it's grown. You know, there's more people, more houses here, and more people living here. Other than other people living here now is when I was in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the major change is that an awful lot of people who live here now do one of three things. They're retired and have moved here, or retired and stayed here. There are people who have jobs here in the schools or the farms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have probably even a larger number who commute to LeGrand or the Union or Elgin or someplace to work. So you have three different categories of people, if you will, living
right.
there. And I remember when I was in high school, I can only remember two or three people who worked outside the community.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who lived in Cove worked in Cove.
Right.
They have a little farm or that kind of thing. There were many little farms mm-hmm. that people lived on and managed to scrape out a living on
mm-hmm.
back. But World War II changed that a lot. And a lot of people moved out during World War II to work in shipyards in Portland or for various other kinds of things. And many never came back.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the little farms sort of somebody else bought them and the houses were going down and so forth. So there was a whole change. And it's sort of something that had started way back when people, before the automobile, at the turn of the century, Cove was a very prosperous community, and it had just about every business you could think of, jewelry stores, drug stores, doctors, busy doctors, harness making stores, restaurants, saloons, meat markets, on and on. Because it was pretty much self-contained, it took a while to get to La Grande, particularly in bad weather because the roads were mud. And it was to the, even with a wagon, sometimes you couldn't make it in a day, but of course with lighter things. So it was necessary to have a lot of the services in the community. Once automobiles came in, roads got better. People could go to town once a week, usually on Saturday, do their shopping. And the need for many of the services were here disappeared, and so then the town had less and less services here and depended more and more on the brand and the community to some extent. So there's been that change, and it, those kind of changes take place rather slowly. I mean, there's that lag. Like I mentioned, when I was in high school, very few people worked outside the community. They could have. There was a pretty regular brand then. They could go not much slower, 40, 45 miles an hour, instead of 55 or 60, and worked in La Grande. But they just hadn't gotten into seeing that as a possibility. Sort of so eventually they caught up with that, and then began working more out of the community. So the main changes, I think, is the demographics, the various groups here, and also the growth. It's a much better maintained, nicer buildings. A lot of nice big homes, Ron's home, for example. The home that was there, of course, Stackland had on that place was just a, I don't know how many bedrooms, just a tall, small little one-story house, you know. Beautiful, beautiful yard, but the house was just very small. And that was true of many of the houses. The Lance house down below was about half the size it is now. It was still, looked somewhat the same, but it was about half that size. And so most people just didn't have the money or the resources, and they had small houses. So there's more money in the code. And people didn't realize then, I think, although to some degree they did, the attractiveness of code.
Oh, really?
I think they enjoyed it, but they didn't see that as a reason to live here.
Oh, you've got a beautiful view.
Yeah, you have a beautiful view. You're truly is a code, because back when it was reformed, it was Forest Cove. And then eventually along in the 1860s or somewhere along in there, the post office department wouldn't allow them to continue the name because it was too close to Forest Grove. So they had to change the name, and rather than have some other name besides Forest, they just dropped it to Cove. But and so people enjoyed living here, but that, you know, that wasn't why they came here. Now a lot of people coming to the area looking for a place to live are attracted to Cove because of the mountains and the fact that it is sort of sheltered back away, and they like that concept. So, so it's become a place to live because of the surroundings, where before it was a place to live because that's where you can make a living.
Right, that's where you grew up.
So anyway, so it's changed in that sense, you know. It has still some of the same characteristics as before, but a lot of it's as well.
Right. Now I've noticed in the time that I've been around here in Cove that there's a large Mennonite community. Was that true when you were a boy?
No. Mennonite community came in while we were gone. I'm not sure how many years ago. But no, that's a relatively recent development. I honestly don't know how many years, but my guess is 20 years ago, maybe more. That's just a guess. Then I'm not sure why that Chose to come to Seoul. They've certainly been a wonderful addition to the community. You know, they're great people, and we have dealings with a number of them, and it's just fun with the community. And so, but I have no idea why. There have been other groups that have sort of religious groups over time, one or two, that have sort of solved over the place that where they wanted to concentrate members of their groups. And so it's not the first time that you've had a cluster of people, but I don't think as much, not as many as you do have in other families.
Right.
But, I should ask that question, but I haven't. Some of my friends, just what was the initiative of the problem?
Right.
Because of course there are areas throughout Oregon or Northwest where you do have a concentration of really nice families or Amish or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know what that came, how it got started, but anyway.
But it wasn't that way when you were born.
No. Well, what else is it that you would like me to talk about? I rambled on here and there.
That's good. That's what I wanted you to do. I think, I'm trying to think if there's any other questions. I just wanted to know about your life and your experiences here in the community. And I think we got a pretty good handle on it. And of course, you were able to provide more history as far as Cove is concerned and its changes. And that's what I was primarily interested in.
Yeah.
I think if there's anything else any other question I can pose. I guess when you were a boy, did you see any influx of, like you had mentioned before, you've seen other religious groups choose to congregate here? When you were a boy, did you see that, or was it more when you were older?
There was, when I was growing up, one of the religious groups that tended to be attracted to people was the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah.
And there was evidently Pope, for many Seventh-day Adventist members, was seen as somehow a special place. I'm not quite sure whether it had religious connotations or what, but that was the other religious group there. And of course you still have quite a large contingent of people who are members of the Seventh-day Adventists who live in Pope. That was another concentration of people of one particular religion.
Was that when you were younger?
Yes, that was particularly young. That was when I was a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the Episcopal Church and the Ascension School has attracted a number of people who are Episcopalians. Not only those who come from the summer, but some people who live in the community or have come to live here because of the church and the Ascension School and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think, for the most part, I think people come and then find the church that is there that they want to go to, but some people come because the church is there, or the group, the religious group is there.
Right. That's interesting.
So it's interesting. The sociology of how people go where they go and do what they do is a fascinating thing.
Well, I think I'll ask you again about your childhood, and you had different chores when you grew up. Is there any one incident or memory that sticks out in your mind as creating an impression on you as a small boy in learning the ropes of a dairy farm?
Huh. Oh, I don't know. There's so many. I can think of only one that really, at the moment, but that was when I was about 12, of course, when we put up hay then, it was totally different than now.
Mm-hmm.
As I got older, of course, we would, was different. But when I was a kid, you mowed hay with horses, two horses, and I pulled a mower that had a 4-foot blade, a sickle in it, and it took you wherever to mow a field. But after you mowed it, and you let it cure there, then you had to go in and rake it, and so you raked it with what we called a dump rake, which would go along, gathered up, and then you hit a footprint or whatever, that lift up the tines and leave a pile of hay. And then you go through by hand and with a pitchfork and turn that into shocks of hay. Mounded so it would be protected somewhat if there was rain. And then you go through with a wagon with horses and a hay rack and puts that hay on by hand, you know, mm-hmm. and then puts it into your barn by hand unless if you didn't have a fork system that could clean them. But at any rate, I was one time when I was raking hay up at our place on Arnold Lane and driving the horses back home to the place there on Lance Lane. And when I got to the corner of Love Road and Animals, the bridle broke on one of the horses and they ran away with me.
Oh, no.
And I, by pulling on the one horse whose bridle was still intact, what happened was that one wheel of the rake ended up in the bell pit. And I, by the time I got down just about to our driveway, double tree which holds it held the rake together came loose and the horses ran on and skidded me down the road for a ways. But in the car when my dad came up when he saw the horses to see what had happened to me, like there I was and the rake of wheel, which normally is about 4 feet high, the one that had been in the ditch was only about 2 feet and just beating it down.
Oh, no.
It was almost humorous, you know.
Yeah.
So we found another wheel for the rake and mm-hmm. that was it. And, but you know, you have this kind of instance, so your horse knocks you off and that just happened to me. It's kind of mm-hmm. happened at this part of it. I thought I was sort of half cowboy when I was growing up, even while I was living on the farm and spinning a big ranch. But
yeah.
We ran our cattle up on the timberland we had in the mountains and fancied myself to be more cowboy than farm boy in my mind.
Right. Was that fantasy fed by books that you read as a boy?
Oh yes, yeah, you know, Zane Grey and all of that stuff and I had to have my spurs and my saddle and all the stuff and all the after all. It's just one of the fantasies of childhood and it was part fantasy, not all. I used to help my uncle and the fellow who worked for him run the cattle back on the Minum and that kind of stuff. So I did some of that, but mm-hmm. it was more, you know, a childhood vision, if you will.
Right. Yeah. What about, was there a local rodeo that happened?
Well, there's always the Stock Show in New England, which of course had this rodeo. And I don't know of any in Cove. I don't remember. There were times when Cove used to have a town team in baseball and they'd sometimes bring out horses for people and people would get on them and ride them, you know, sort of a pre-event or something, but not much, too much of that. But the only organized rodeo, really, the closest was the East Mountain Livestock Show in Union, which of course has been going for, oh, I don't know how long, but at least 80 years. It was the longest show of its kind, I think. But certainly in Eastern America, maybe even further.
Wow. Yeah. Were you able to participate in that, or was it too far?
Oh, I didn't in the rodeo part, no. Of course, we were very active in points and had lights off, but dairy cattle and sheep and swine and beef cattle and very active boys, quite some clothes. And we all showed it fully there, showed our shock, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But as far as radio and that kind of stuff, no, another era, really. But very, very active, voyage activity. That was the main thing that got me out of Cove, was 4-H to go to the pit stop to the livestock exposition in Portland, or to go to summer school at Oregon State University, or summer school. For many kids, boys, almost all boys, but then it was only boys in the club, it really provided them a way to sort of have another view of life mm-hmm. because of the many things we did outside the community.
Right.
Being East Norwegian, but also like going to Portland or going to Corvallis and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it was a great kind of a learning experience. And for many kids in COVID school, of course, they have big clubs here. But we were super active at that time. So it was a nice thing for young people to get involved.
You said back then it was just boys that could participate?
Yeah, well, in livestock clubs, yeah. And not by any, I don't think it was by any restriction. It's just that girls didn't get involved, you know?
And right.
Sort of viewed as a boy. And yet when we would go to places like Union County Fair or to the East Bay Livestock Show, there would be girls showing beef animals and so forth, and it comes pretty cold. I don't think there was any girls during the time I was in there involved in the livestock activities. I just don't know about that.
Do you know of any clubs that were geared for girls back
then? Oh yeah, there was a lot of format related. Cooking, baking, sewing, there were a whole range. But I think at that time, you know, there was, for the most part, there was still those stuff sites. So boys did the outside thing, and girls did
right.
the homemaking kind of thing. So, it was that sort of small community mentality,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't anything else. There wasn't any restrictions. It's just the way people perceived it.
Was it surprising for you boys when you went elsewhere to see girls involved?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. No, it wasn't. And I never even thought about. I had not even thought about that really, truthfully, that much. I knew that. Remember, and thought about being on boys, but I never thought about the combination of going to other places and girls being involved mm-hmm. and getting on the pole. I didn't make that. I was too close to it to stand back and see that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's, again, it comes back to what we perceive, you know, or what the frame of reference in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if we get captured in that, we don't take that three big steps back and look at the broader picture.
Mm-hmm.
So we do what we just seem right without even thinking about it. There might be another way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, neat. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it.
Okay, well.
if you want to go ahead and see if you can find